Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a film. Voyage to Betterment is the title of this film, and I was so impressed with it because of the material that was put together in a very comprehensive way. And my guest, Andrew Faka, is in Ontario, Canada. And he is with us today, and we're going to be talking about this film, how it came about, and why it was so important for him to be able to bring this information to the public. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you very much.
Andrew, I'm really intrigued with this movie because you yourself went through some challenges in your own life, and Voyage to Betterment is about the mind, body, spirit, and emotion connection. And all of this is so very, very important. Let's talk about what stimulated you to take on this project, and how long did it take you to bring it all together into this cohesive film called Voyage to Betterment?
Well, those are good questions. It took about 5 years to put the film together. Because there were a lot of interviews, there were a lot of things that happened, and there was also a lot of work required to edit it and turn it into a cohesive film. So the film ends up serving as an entertaining film, but also acts as a guide to betterment and well-being. And what we mean by well-being is that it's a guide to both health and happiness, and how the average person can achieve both. So it was inspired by all the events that happened in my life, and I started putting together a book, and I called it The 10 Principal Elements for Well-Being. And the thing about the book was that you can't see it with your own eyes. But with a movie, you can see it with your own eyes, because some of the things that are featured in the film are quite miraculous, and you wouldn't believe them unless you saw them with your own eyes.
I was intrigued with the statistics that started off right at the beginning of the movie, and that is in the 1900s, in the early 1900s, the likelihood of someone developing cancer was like 1 in 500.
Yes.
Today, the stats are mind-boggling. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. It's like for women, 1 in 3, men, 1 in 2. And this isn't just because we're living longer. It is something that has evolved. It's as if we have to wake up to the reality of taking better care of ourselves, not just physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And this is what you address in the movie. And I found that those stats really shake one up mentally. You go, what in the world? Why would these stats have changed so dramatically? When you pulled this research together along with some other points of information, did it shock you when you saw the stats?
Well, I think it shocks everyone when you really look at things. But it's important not to, I mean, we're bombarded with all sorts of information, you know, and you can't get away from it. You see public service announcements about everything. But it's important not to view any of this information with a sense of fear, because that'll make it even worse. So it's important, though, to, I believe it's important to just be aware of reality. And then once you're aware of what the realities are, you can do something about it. And the good news is that we're not victims of outside illness and disease, and there's a lot we can do about it, and we can regain control of our own levels of health and of happiness as well.
I liked your attitude very much about saying in the movie, let's stop making corporations evil entities. They are merely people who are in business. They're involved in marketing and merchandising, and we have to be aware that it's up to us to make our own choices. And I think that means you have to be awake. You can't be sleeping. And this is something that's very difficult for people to absorb, because when, as you mentioned in the movie, when we are brought into whatever our social environment be, it may be whatever part of the world we're in, that's what we accept as the dominant belief system. And it isn't until we become adults and maybe go through some experiences of our own, we'll go, wait a minute, how come I'm doing this when there's another option? I mean, we really have to wake up to that factor, that there are options to work with. And that is something in your movie that you bring across very well. Also, I want to mention that you have 12 persons in your movie that share their expertise. One of them, who was your mentor, and you had a very strong association with, Dr. David Hawkins. And we can talk about him a little bit in a moment, but you have Dr. Neil Bernard, you have Bobby Rock, Rabbi Loring Frank, Yogi Amit Desai, Dr. Colin Campbell, Judy Bouchard, Lori Wilson Atherton, Dr. Cam Yun, Larry Steele, and even David Carradine. I know David Carradine has passed away.
Correct.
But I do think that each of these people related stories and points of their personal experience that transform their lives, and we'll be talking about some of that. I know you've been a very successful businessman. You are someone that is not afraid of what we might call the almighty dollar. You realize it's just the medium of exchange, and you use it to leverage it. But I was surprised to find out that you took a bar that was beer, chicken wings, and all other kinds of standard goodies that most pubs and bars, taverns have, and you decided you were going to make it into an organic restaurant. Did you have much of a problem getting people to invest in that?
Actually, it was the other way around. I had opened an organic restaurant back in 1998, and unfortunately, I was running a manufacturing business at the same time. That went through a bit of a crisis, and I had to divert all my attention to that, and I didn't have any time to focus on the organic restaurant, and we started losing a lot of money in the organic restaurant. And so I had business partners that were losing their investments there, so we had decided that the easiest thing to do was to convert it to a bar, and I had no interest in running a bar or even being involved with a bar. So then that's when we recruited Dave Haas, who is featured as one of the main participants in the film. And the interesting thing about Dave, the reason we turned it into a bar, it was because there was this organic restaurant in the middle of a bar district. And it was very difficult. Ideally, that's what we wanted to do, but when all of a sudden you're working long hours and you're losing a lot of money, you have to decide to do what's responsible. And I barely even drink. I might have a glass of wine every month or something. So I had no interest in running a bar. And when Dave came in, he was a regular bar manager. But what was really interesting, after a couple of years, he approached me and he said, you know what, I see that you're always happy regardless of what's going on in business, and you eat differently and you act differently than most people I know. Do you think you can show me what you do? So it was because Dave approached me that I had said to him, well, Dave, I was planning on putting a group of people through a 30-day challenge, and if you want to be the first guinea pig, I'd love to do that. And so we filmed the before and after results with Dave, and the results were incredible. In 30 days, his risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and stroke dropped by an average of 50%. And we measured the results with the Biosignia lab, and the before and after pictures are quite dramatic. He went from 225 pounds in flat flabby to 195 pounds and lean and mean. So these are things that a lot of people would really aspire to. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. Then we assembled a group of people who started noticing the changes in Dave, and they wanted to find out what he was doing. So we filmed a group of people going through the same challenge. And those that were interested in discovering more, I mean, that was just a basic physical challenge, but those that were interested in discovering the power of the spirit and of the mind, then the journey continued for them, and that's how the film came to be. So in an odd twist, the organic restaurant turning into a bar became kind of the start of this film.
With this, as you said, Dave really saw some very good results because he was going to be mimicking you. And when you were putting together a team of people that were going to participate in the experiment, I thought it was pretty cool. The experiment was going to be a holistic cruise in the Caribbean. I mean, if you're going to do an experiment, sunshine, good food, I mean, wow, this is really terrific. And you had women and men. You had Barbara, Marta, Sandy, and then you had Aldo, Ben. There was Dave, and was there another woman that was included? What was her name?
Well, Ryan was part of that group as well.
Okay, and Ryan.
Yeah, and Marta. So in essence, there were, in addition to Dave, there were four guys and four girls that participated as well. So there was a group of nine altogether.
And there was a number of things that were shared. And one of the issues on the cruise is that they were to eat healthy foods, but they were also going to learn what they could do with food so it tasted good. Because most of the time when people think of healthy foods, they go carrots, chips, and celery, and after a week they say, thank you very much, I'm going to go back to having pizza. So this is something, though, that you had pizza. You had a number of delicious foods. The chefs that were putting this together, the menus together, did you work with them very long before you did the cruise?
No, not at all, because the holistic cruise was a macrobiotic cruise, and that was the first week of the challenge. So basically anything that they ate was going to be healthy. So it was after the cruise that the group participated in a series of cooking classes, and that was something that I put on myself, but it was something that gave us a chance to meet once a week and discuss the challenge and all the issues that they would be going through. But yes, that of course was one of our main goals, is to show all the great things that you could eat. And it's by not discounting any food as being bad for you, but showing the positive and showing how so many healthy foods are not only healthy, but delicious. So, you know, you accentuate the positive and, you know, you don't look at the negative. So it's kind of like, you know, you don't have to hate vanilla to love chocolate.
That's true. You have the portion on nutrition. You also have the portion on exercise, attitude, emotions, and intention, mental focus. And I wanted to bring up some information that you showed in the film that I found extremely interesting. It was about the large holistic hospital in China that exists no longer, but Qigong masters were, and of course they know how to utilize energy in a phenomenal way, and it takes them years to train for this, but they had on film that, if I'm wrong, correct me, that was done in 1995, where they had a patient that in the x-ray, they had the film showing this tumor that was the size of an orange, and there were four Qigong masters around this patient that were directing healing energy, telling the tumor to dissolve. And in the film, it shows the actual dissolving of the tumor on film.
Yes.
And I thought, this is marvelous. Tell us a little bit more about that. How were you able to get that film clip?
Well, you've asked a very interesting question. question that has a very interesting answer. So since you've gone there, I'll give you the answer. I originally saw that footage when I attended a lecture by Greg Braden. And after I saw that, I said, wow, that's great footage. I'd love to use this in a documentary. And we reached out and tried to contact him by phone and email. And we never heard back, so we just figured, oh, well, you know, we understand that a lot of popular people are busy and they're doing all sorts of things. But anyways, we had made an attempt to get that footage because it would make a very useful point in our film. So it wasn't until several years later that I flew to California to interview Dr. Cam Ewan and David Carradine. And this was in February of 2009. And they were speaking at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. And there were dozens of other speakers and stuff. And I saw this one guy that he was on a brochure, and his name was Ming Tong Ju. And he looked like a little calm, peaceful monk. And I said, oh, I wonder what this guy does. And I've never heard of him before. So I wanted to see when his lecture was. And his lecture was at the same time David Carradine was having a concert. So I'd committed to go to that already, so I couldn't see him. And then I'm walking up and down the aisles of this exhibit one day, and standing right next to me was this peaceful monk named Ming Tong Ju. And I said to him, hey, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm giving Qigong treatments. So I immediately said, I'll take one. And he starts doing this treatment, and in the middle is the center, and there's people walking up and down the aisle. And I said to him, hey, where did you learn how to do this? And he said, well, I learned at China's largest holistic hospital. And I remember that was the exact... those were the exact words that Greg Braden had mentioned several years ago when I saw that footage at the lecture. So I said to Ming Tong Ju, I said, have you ever seen this footage of a tumor disappearing? And he hands me a DVD, and he puts it right in my hand. And I said, wow, can I use this in the film? And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So that's how we ended up getting the footage for that. And there were a series. That was one of maybe a dozen crazy, miraculous, synergistic events that happened during the filming and creation of this movie that just still leaves me in awe and just let us know that we were in the right direction.
Well, it's an incredible thing to watch. It's absolutely incredible. It reminds me of filming that was done of a Brazilian healer whose name was Arrigo. And, of course, he's been gone for a number of years, but he amazed science because of what he was able to do, utilizing energy in a way and manner that, to the best of my knowledge, has not yet been duplicated. But it is just amazing. And, of course, the Qigong masters are phenomenal. Points of information that you bring out about preventative manners and methods that enable us as individuals, regardless of where we might be in our health spectrum at this time, it is important to know that we can grab the now, start right now, right where we are, by making changes in our lifestyle, in the way we think and what we do, so that we can have a richer life and be healthier and have a life of quality. And
absolutely.
I think that there has been an indoctrination that, especially in the U.S. and in other parts of the world as well, that there's supposed to be a magic pill to cure everything. And the body is such a complex system that there are many variables. All of us are very unique in our biological structure. And every day that we live, there can be a stress factor that can change our chemistry. There's so many things that can go on within a human being's physical structural framework. And yet we need to know how important it is that we recognize we have the power to take charge of what's we are occupying in this physical vehicle and make it healthy and strong. And part of that is understanding the power of the mind. Tell us about cooking with consciousness, because that is something that Amit brings out in
right.
the film. And I think that that is so important.
Well, sure it is. And, you know, you go into a lot of things that are really important. And everybody thinks they know. Like, if you were to say, hey, go watch Voyage to Betterment, it's a film about health, everybody would already have a preconceived notion of what they thought it was about. And because people think health is just about food choice and exercise. And, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So there's so much more to everything. And the thing about the physical body, it's really just like a puppet. And the mind has so much more power than the physical body. And so what you hold in mind tends to manifest. And these are things that I've experience that I can assure people without a shadow of a doubt, and that was part of the reason for making the film. So when it comes to the consciousness of our food choices, it's important, regardless of what that food choice is that we choose, that we never think about food going, consuming food and thinking that it's bad for us in any way. So a lot of people might be eating, let's say, a slice of pizza and might be thinking, I shouldn't eat this. I'm going to, get heart disease if I eat pizza and stuff like that. And if it's a belief system is far more powerful than the actual physical body. So then that's why we go on into the film and show. And Dr. Hawkins even relates a story where he once had a belief system that poison ivy would, you know, cause a rash, and he was even hospitalized by that. But he was able to, through self-hypnosis and other things, he was able to go in and find out where he got that belief system. And then he canceled it as a belief system. And then after that, he was actually able to go and pick poison ivy and not even have it cause any problems. So it's an understanding that, yes, we should make wise food choices, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with studying nutrition and the value of different things, especially plant-based foods, seem to have a ton of benefits. But at the same time, we don't ever want to think that anything that we eat is bad for us, because that belief system is going to be far more powerful than the food choice.
That is a point that is brought across very, very nicely in the film. Also, one of the things Amit said is that when you're preparing your food, keep your consciousness where it's supposed to be. Don't prepare food if you're angry. Don't have, you know, if there's hate or agitation. He said, calm yourself down, because what your presence is when you're working with the food is going to have an effect on the people that the food is served to, including yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is so true. It's just amazing to me. I've done some experiments with that, and it's absolutely fascinating. And one of the things every once in a while I like to do is make bread. And so when I make bread, I bless the bread, if you will. And I just...
Absolutely.
It's amazing. And people will say, I've never tasted any bread like this before. And it's just a simple recipe. It's a recipe that's been around for I don't know how long. And they'll say, your bread just has a flavor. It's just wonderful. And it's happened again and again and again. So I figure it's sort of like the movie. There was a movie about chocolate. That was the same thing. What was the essence that was in the chocolate? And the essence was the intention of love that was in the chocolate.
Absolutely.
And this couple wins the prize because there's something special about it. And the ingredients are not exceptional, but it's the intention that goes with it. And it does carry forth. It's an amazing thing how food will relate. Animals relate that way. I mean, it's just fascinating. You also have in your movie a story about a woman, Lori. She tells her story, and a healer, Larry Steele, and how she had a life-threatening illness. She was dying, and how this man was able to turn things around for her. You cover so many different modalities, and that's what I enjoyed about the film. It didn't come from a point of lecturing. It didn't come from a point of saying, you got to eat turnips and collard greens for the rest of your life, otherwise you're just not worth anything. No, that's not what you do. You bring out all of the different modalities relating to the mind, the body, the spirit, and the emotions, and a person then can take options. In this group that offered to do the cruise, not everybody was able to keep their intention, if you will, with the particular program, but there were a few people that they recognized the value of change to themselves, and they were able to employ that in their lives. But you never know when the others who said, I just can't do this, my lifestyle is this, thus, that, or so, you never know when it's going to kick back in at a later date.
Sure.
It's just amazing. So your film is very nicely done, and I think the different cultural aspects, you talk about influenza, vitamin D, how important that is, and how when you have a sufficient amount of vitamin D, influenza is not likely to affect your life.
Right.
When you finished this movie and you started showing it to people and were able to talk to people about it, what was the strongest feeling of satisfaction that you got out of having done this Voyage to Betterment movie?
Well, actually, you know, when we premiered the show, we had a theater with 160 seats, and it sold out. And I had no idea how people were going to receive the film because it is very detailed, but I wanted to make sure it was entertaining enough. And, you know, we received a standing ovation, and I was about to cry.
Wow!
It was powerful, and it was genuine, and it was honest. And every time we've had a screening, and we've had over 70 screenings in theaters and universities, we're getting a fairly similar response. And I'm glad that the information's out there and people can benefit from it. So it makes you feel good that, I mean, you just want to spend your life doing something that you think benefits other people. At least
mm-hmm.
I do. So getting that kind of recognition certainly felt good. I was satisfied in just doing the work and letting the outcome be whatever it is, so that if it does have merit, it'll receive the attention it deserves, and if it didn't have merit, then it wouldn't receive any attention, and I was fine with that. I was detached from the outcome. But we just started showing the film at a Center for Spiritual Living about a month back, and now we just invited several centers to participate in a multi-city screening, and that's going on for 2 weeks from June 15th to the 29th, I believe. And so what we're trying to do is it looks like we'll probably have the film opening up in about 50 cities across North America in 2 weeks. So that's June 15th to the 29th, and people can go on our website at voyagetobetterment.com for more information, or they might even check us up on Facebook. And and that's just people seeing the film at screenings like that. But also, if you have viewers that are interested, they can buy the DVD for $25 online, or they can watch it online. We've found a way to allow people to view it right on their computer anywhere in the world for only $5.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have options to see the film. And, you know, it's probably cost us, I've been working for free for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, probably about $500,000 investment out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And if it benefits one person, then I'm happy, and I already know that's done. So all the rest is bonus from here, you know?
Well, I think that the movie Voyage to Betterment has so many points of information. You have such, again, a diversity of modalities of communication, information, and expression that I think just about anybody would benefit from one point or another. Voyage to Betterment, a health and happiness true life story, real people talking about what they're doing about their lives, an experiment performed, leaders in various areas of knowledge and medical background, etc. You're going to find a real good view. So check out his website, voyagetobetterment.com. You can watch the film online. $5 is all it would cost you, but if you want to have it and maybe have your own showing in your own home with friends and family, you'll be able to find out information about that too. Andrew Faka, thank you so very much for being my guest today. Congratulations on a job well done, and I'm sure you'll get a return on your investment in ways that you would never have dreamed.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's certainly been enjoyable talking with you.
It's been a pleasure having you as a guest. Again, go to voyagetobetterment.com. Find out more. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the telephone number worldwide, toll-free, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to let you know about my guest tomorrow. We're going to be discussing the Quran and also U.S. history. This book is called The Quran, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran and the History of the United States, also European history. So we're going to be talking with William Federer tomorrow. Fascinating man. He loves history. He's written a number of books on history, and we're going to be discussing what I mentioned tomorrow. So I hope that you can join me and invite your friends. I think you'll find it interesting. Also, next week, we've got a great lineup of people. No More Regrets. Do you carry around some emotional baggage because maybe you were just not doing things the right way, maybe at some time in your life, and it's a burden that you don't know how to get rid of? Well, we're going to be talking about getting rid of regrets. Mark Matunik is going to be my guest. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about doubling your income. Do you think that's possible? You may look at all of the news programs and think, oh, I'm out of work. How can I even talk about doubling my income, for heaven's sakes, Donna? Well, tune in. Clint Arthur is going to be my guest because he has a methodology where he believes you can increase your income in 180 days. This isn't a multi-level marketing thing, not at all. Chosen for reasons unknown, Mr. Murray Ebner is going to be my guest next Wednesday. This is a man that has written a memoir about his life and the life of his family. This will take us back to World War II, and we're going to be discussing that with him on Wednesday, and then Saving Our Public Libraries next Thursday, a week from today. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. The reason being, one, I love books. I really treasure them. Two, public libraries have been such a significant part of my life, both when I was growing up and even today. So we're going to be interviewing Janet Jay on this. And then on Friday of next week, we're going to be talking about wills and trust and probate. John Farr is an attorney who's on the East Coast, and I'm going to be discussing with him the value of understanding the difference between wills, trusts, and probates, and how one can affect the other in a very negative way or a positive way, dependent on how it is all laid out. So a dynamic week ahead, a dynamic day tomorrow. Again, I hope you will share with your friends and tune in and listen up. Also, don't forget we have the archives of all the programs, and you're welcome to listen to those at your leisure as well. And don't forget to check for show information about the upcoming guests. And you'll be able to just check at the Donna Sebo Show, and it has a little tag there that you tap your cursor on, and you'll find out about all the guests that are upcoming. Well, Easter is just around the corner for a lot of people, and I have an absolutely adorable photograph of the cutest bunny. I mean, who doesn't like bunnies? They're just so cuddly and cozy and adorable. I especially like the little miniature bunnies. You can hold them in your hand, and they're just absolutely precious. Well, there's a picture of one that I've got in front of me. It's a little bunny in a basket, just sized, just right for him, and his great big brown eyes are looking directly into the camera. And Caroline Briado has written a poem. She said, "Spring awakens, roosters crow. Little bunnies on the go leave Easter's heart prints wherever they go, announcing Easter's here." Well, as I mentioned to you yesterday, I'm finding all kinds of little Easter eggs, you know, the plastic ones. I guess the kids have gotten them earlier. Some adults have raided the Easter basket in advance. Who knows? And I'm finding them in different areas of the neighborhood. It's really something, but they're empty. All the goodies are gone from inside. So I get a big kick out of that. And Easter, well, what you do, you're dyeing eggs and doing all the kind of stuff with kids. And I remember how much fun it was when I was growing up to do it. And decorating Easter eggs. It's just really a lot of fun. But those Easter eggs, if you could, you know, make a whole bunch of them, they really are going to be a good protein item for you to have around the house. It'll keep you just feeling really good all day long. And if you're watching your waistline, those hard-boiled eggs are really great. Why? Because they're high in leucine, and also that's an amino acid that helps your muscles process glucose for fuel. And eggs are, gee, they are singularly as a food. I think just one of the best foods you can ever eat. I remember when I went through years where I was broke, it was having eggs. Eggs would be just the best way I could get protein, and they were so inexpensive. Not so much today. A lot of things changed, but I'll tell you, they still are a wonderful, wonderful food to eat. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. Now, I have some tips on saving money. If you're one of those souls that's always wanting to figure out a way to save money, maybe you're wanting to buy a new car. Well, I've got a few tips here from Ellie Kay, who has just a passion for saving money. And she loves to tell people what they can do so that they don't have to waste their dollars, and they can plan on how they want to work with their money. Well, this is what she says about automobiles. She said, late summer and early fall, if you're looking for an automobile, it's a time when you want to shop. And buying something brand new off of the car lot, I was taught this years ago, As soon as you drive that brand new car off of your car lot, it is depreciated like 50%. Some models, it may not be that drastic, but with most of them, that seems to be the case. So she said in her research, which she found out, if you want to buy a vehicle, and I'm sure this is just as good for used vehicles as well as brand new ones, look at the end of the month. They have end of the month sales, and often in the middle of the week on Wednesdays, if you can buy on the last Wednesday of any month, you're going to be surprised at the bargains that are going to be available to you. And this is the reason why. At the end of a month, a dealership is really wanting to meet their quotas because manufacturers set quotas for sales. And if the dealership meets their quotas, that's terrific. But if they exceed their quota, the dealership might really be excited because they will be rewarded by the manufacturer. They'll get their own bonuses. And they're going to receive even more of those vehicles that are selling well. So it's a good time to go in and do your bargaining for a vehicle at the end of the month. There's also sometimes competition that's going on within a dealership for cash incentives by the employees, the sales personnel, and they may be willing to even cut the percentage of their commission because they want to win whatever bonus is going to be offered. And also, keep in mind, if you decide to shop on the last Wednesday of the month, dealerships typically are not crowded on Wednesdays, and you're going to get a lot more attention. You'll get your questions answered, and early mornings, that's the best time to go, and middle of the week. So just a bit of a tip there for you if you're going to be out shopping for a new car. The way the gasoline prices are going up, and they're going to be going up even more, I'm sure, but just keep in mind that that is something that could save you a lot of dollars. And of course, online, there's different ways that you can shop and you can check things out for yourself. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Oh, and by the way, don't forget, if you're going to get a used car, check on it, see what its history is. You don't want to end up getting a car that has been shipped to a local dealership from across country somewhere that maybe it was in a flood. You just don't know. So you want to be sure that you check that out. Just a little bit of weird information here. It's talking about, well, coffins and gravestones and all this kind of stuff. This is fascinating detail as far as I'm concerned. Do you know there was a Scotsman, his name was Alexander, he was the Duke of Hamilton. He spent more than 11,500 pounds, that's equivalent to $20,000 at the time, on a genuine ancient Egyptian coffin. However, when he passed away in 1852, he was found to be too long for it, so his legs had to be cut off before he could fit inside. Oh, well, he was gone. It didn't make any difference, I guess. People do some interesting things. Also, in 1876, an American gang of grave robbers tried to steal Abraham Lincoln's body and hold it for ransom in return for the release of a convicted forger whose name was Ben Boyd. It didn't work. And last but not least, as a bit of trivia, when the body of King George IV of England became badly swollen in his coffin, court attendants feared that it was going to explode through the lighting. Remember, there were those days where the viewing was held in public. So they drilled a hole in the casket to let out some of the rotten air that was caused by decomposition. Ah, yes. Fascinating little tidbits of information regarding people and places and situations where individuals thought they had a choice. Donna Sebo here. Just a quick mention for those of you who are listening in Alaska. I'm going to be traveling up to the Great Far North in the month of May, during the week of the 9th, and I'll be up there. I'll also be broadcasting from there. And if anyone in Alaska wants to meet with me directly, all they have to do is give me a call at my office, and that is 800-872-8852 or 253-582-5604. We're going to be going on break in just a moment, but I thought that I'd share a quote with you by John Wicker. The man who works need never be a problem to anyone. Opportunities multiply as they are seized. They die when neglected. Life is a long line of opportunities. Wealth is not in the making of money, but in the making of the man when he is making money. Production, not destruction, leads to success. John Wicker, sound words for changing times that we're living in right now. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line, but I just thought I'd share with you quickly. Are you aware of the fact that there's a National Pretzel Day? I didn't have a clue about this. And after the caller, I'll give you information about this. National Pretzel Day. I mean, we've got so many national days for this, that, or the other. I don't know how anybody keeps them all straight. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
EMC, calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Well, hello, EMC, and in Tacoma, is the sun shining over where you are? It sure is shining where I am, and I love it. All right, there's...
Hello?
Okay, so go ahead. I can hear you. Go ahead and give me your question.
I have two questions. Are you able to answer?
All right, go ahead and ask.
The first one, I would like to know, is this a way if I'm able to lose weight?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be actually quite easy for you. The key is that you will need to cut back on carbohydrates, and that means your breads, your pastas, your corn, things like this, and just having smaller amounts of food. And also having an activity that is going to allow your body to develop suppleness. So you will, whether it's dancing or walking, whatever you do, you need to be very regimented with it. But the key is for you, your body is so efficient at storing carbohydrates. If you do not have, let's say, the calorie burning factor of the body, then by doing, you're not going to be out rowing boats or, you know, building houses, things like this. So you need to remember your body is very efficient with carbohydrates. So you need to have those foods that are going to give you the calories that you want, and you shouldn't drop down lower than 1,200 calories a day, but you need to have the calories that are going to be healthy calories. So, oh, yes, you're going to be able to trim down. You'll be able to trim down. But it's getting everything out of the house that relates to pasta, bread, anything that it would be considered a carbohydrate, even not having potatoes. If you have something like brown rice, that's fine. Or if you want a potato, having maybe a sweet potato instead of a white potato. It's just the way your body metabolizes food and also the amount. So, yes, you would be able to lose weight.
I have one more question. It's got to do with my son. His name is Tino. He's 15 years old.
All right. What are you concerned about with your son?
With his health.
All right. What in particular is bothering you about his health? Because I'm looking at the fact that your son would actually be able to enjoy pretty good health, but what's going on with him? What is it that concerns you? I know he's a poor eater. He just is, you know, not paying attention to nutrition at all, but that's not unusual for a 15-year-old. What are you concerned about him physically?
Well, thing with his mental mind.
All right. Give me an example, because he's got a good mind. Why is it your concern?
Well, he thinks a lot of things through his mind, and one thing about his health has got to do with his going to the bathroom. It's got to do with his diet?
Yes, it has a great deal to do with his diet. What would be very good for your son, and what's his first name, by the way?
1396.
Okay. I would say that your son, if he were able to work with, let's say, a coach in some activity that he really liked, let's say he loved skating or skateboarding or something of that nature, that would enable him to work with someone. If they had knowledge about good nutrition, he's 15 years old, he could end up within 1 year just turning things around in a wonderful way. But he needs some help. He needs somebody that he can look up to and that he can respect. Let's say he knew somebody that was really good in wrestling. Then I would say he'd need to go and interact with that person so they would be able to talk to him openly about being better physically. But I will say this, as you are willing to do things for yourself, you'll be a good example for him as well.
Okay.
So I think he needs, again, someone like a coach, a mentor. That's a good term.
A mentor?
A mentor that is going to be able to help him and support him in the right way. Because there's nothing really wrong with his mind. His mind, in my view, seems to be pretty good. But let's face it, if you don't feel good, and if you have a problem, let's say with constipation, or your food isn't digesting well, you're not eating well, this is, for a 15-year-old, it can really be very, very distressing and can be very depressing for them. So he needs some kind of support.
Okay. By somebody or by somebody in a family member?
Well, it might be somebody outside of the family.
Okay.
Somebody outside the family. And if there's someone within the family that's into bodybuilding, that knows about good nutrition, that type of thing, great. But he doesn't need to be criticized. He needs to be encouraged and supported and worked with.
Okay.
And it would, you know, again, you can be a great example for him.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call. Enjoy the beautiful day that you have.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, EMC. This is Donna Seaball. I know we don't have enough time to take another caller, but I wanted to just give you this little bit of trivia on National Pretzel Day. Now, apparently, this was done 4 years ago, and it's April the 26th. Now, what you can do, if you are a pretzel lover, you can visit your local pretzel maker store and sing a snippet from a song of their choice for a free soft pretzel with or without salt. Now, if you don't like to sing, all you have to do is say, Happy National Pretzel Day. Now, go to pretzelmaker.com. or nationalpretzelday.com to find a pretzel maker that's in your neck of the woods. Isn't it amazing? So pretzels, you've got a national day, and what fun, what fun. Just go on about and find out all you need to know. And that is tomorrow, the 26th, so you'll be able to find out about that. Check it out online, National Pretzel Day. I thought I had heard of everything. Well, the pretzels have it online. Learn something new every single day. This is Donna Seaball. I hope you'll join me tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important to recognize that, one, you live in a country that gives you the opportunity of choice. Two, you have the right to make choice, good, bad, or indifferent. And three, the responsibility of your choices, well, that is yours, too. to recognize, accept. And if you don't like what you've done, shift, make a change, move on to something new. Don't carry the old stuff. It's not worth it, because life is full of learning, growing, expanding, and being the best you possibly can be. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.